Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. We are excited that you are here this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who is in worship. And the way we do that are the pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us any updated contact information, we certainly would appreciate you helping us out with that. We do ask, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could, that last person, once you're done, if you could send it to where it got started this morning, that would be helpful. We do ask, once it gets back to that very first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for doing that. Big Raj has an announcement. Mr. Rick, he's going to use my lapel mic, so if you could turn that on. We're excited about Greenville is coming up next week, and Big Raj has an announcement.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
That was a mighty week.
I know. I deal with it every week. I know.
Well, we're almost ready. We were down there Tuesday and dug the footing and poured the footing. And Friday, the people from Green Meadows Baptist Church, sister church of ours, Mr. Walker was our first pastor, and he started the Green Meadows Church. And so the Green Meadows Baptist men went down there and laid it off and helped us dig it, and then went back Friday and laid the block. So all the blocks are in place and ready for it. We've got about 80 people total going, counting the youth. And most everything's done. We've got some furniture picked up this week. And we've exceeded our goal of 26,000 so far. And if you haven't decided to go, now's the time. We're going to need some help the latter part of the week, like Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. We lose a lot of people on Tuesday and Wednesday. So if you can come down for a day, it's only a 3-hour drive. And you're real energetic. You get up at 5 o'clock, you're there at 8 o'clock. So if you'll come and join us, I can guarantee you that it'll change your life for the better. We're loading the bus.
9 o'clock on Saturday?
We're loading the bus tomorrow night at 6:30.
Oh, loading the bus tomorrow night at 6:30. Okay.
And then we're loading the truck Saturday morning.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
So we need some help to do that. We don't have as much furniture as we normally have, but we'll have a truckload to get ready. And we're looking forward to a wonderful opportunity down there.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Food proof. Where do we stand, Marinelle or Alice?
People are signing up, but we could use some more help.
We have a lot of people who have signed up, but there's a list of food items that are needed for the project that you'll find on the table right outside of Smith Hall. And you can start bringing those food items in. You can actually bring it to Raymond's office or my office. We'll check them out, make sure they're okay, and then we'll get them in. Oh, I didn't get that approved. Sorry. But we are certainly in need of help with that, and there's a sign-up list that you can, with specifics of what can be brought. Okay. Very good. This is a big week coming up for us. We are headed to Greenville, as we've talked about, to build a house for a lady by the name of Mrs. House, Miss Beatrice House. We're going to be building her a brand new home, and we're excited about that. We leave next Sunday morning. That changes some of our schedule. I want to make you aware of that. There will be only one morning service next Sunday. That will be 9 o'clock in Smith Hall. And we want everybody to come. We'll combine together for that service at 9 o'clock. That will last for about 45 minutes or so. And then we'll go into Sunday school. Those that want to head off will head off to Greenville. And then there will be no 11 o'clock service. So just want you to make a note of that. Let's see. Had a big day yesterday for a family mission day. Had over 30 people participate as a part of outreach to our community. We worked on three different projects, give or take a little bit, and had some great fellowship and met some people. We're going to be doing this neighborhood outreach two more times this summer, on July the 16th and August 13th. And we look forward to what God has did yesterday and what he's going to continue to do through that. Reminder to our youth families, Dan River, sign up is today. We need to make sure we have a price break. We got to make sure we meet that. So I need to know today if you are going to Dan River. Let's see. And that's this Tuesday of this week. Anything else? Oh, Mary.
Briefly, I'm giving you this a little bit ahead because it takes a little prep work. I went and looked it up. It's either 25th or 26th. It's a Monday in July. We will have our first meeting of College Park's book club. And I am looking forward to that. Our first book that we will be reading is called Same Kind of Different as Me. And I have to tell you, I had about three people over the course of a year say, we need to do something with this book. I just got done reading this book. This book is fabulous, and we need to read it. And I've been waiting for the opportunity, and, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to fit things on the calendar around here. So I finally decided we were not going to wait for an opportunity. We were just going to go ahead and do it. We will be meeting that evening, and we will be discussing the book Same Kind of Different as Me. It is a true story. It is written, co-authored by two men of very, very different backgrounds, an art dealer from Texas and the homeless man that he became best friends with. And the book has a lot to say about sometimes our motivations for helping people, right and wrong. It has a lot to say about sometimes how our actions are perceived. It has a lot to say about looking beyond who we think people are and really seeing them for who they are. And so I hope you will read it. If you can't find it anywhere, you should be able to. It's kind of all over. If you can't find it anywhere, get up with me and I will get you a copy. If you are not able to get out in the evenings and you would still like to read the book and do a book club, get up with me and we will see if we can find a daytime when we can get several of us together. And so you've got a month to read it. It's not a hard read, and I'm looking forward to getting to hear what y'all have to say about it. And so I invite you to join me then.
Okay. Reminder also to our children, we are having children's time this morning. I want to make note of that right after that first hymn. And other things are listed there in your bulletin, opportunities for the week, upcoming events. Lots going on. You know, summertime, we stay really busy during the school year, especially if we have kids, if we have family situations. Summer, isn't that supposed to be a time you relax and you just calm down and, oh, but sometimes it just never feels like we just have a day to just be. Today is that day. To be still and know that He is God. That He is here. And He wants your undivided attention. My undivided attention. Are we listening this morning? Are we waiting for Him? I hope we are. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. If you're a guest, we want you to raise your hand. The ushers are going to come down the aisles now. Just raise your hand. They will recognize you. We hope that you see College Park as a place of rest. Yes, a place of action, but as a place of rest. Because some days, that's all we need. Let's rest in the knowledge and the love of Christ this morning. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we cry out, how majestic is your name. And we think of your majesty and your glory, your perfection and your holiness. We are overwhelmed. So, Father, as we come into your presence, be near us, we pray. Be in this place, we pray. Remove those distractions that would hinder us from coming into your presence and recognizing you as Lord and Savior. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning.
Good.
You good?
Yes, I'm good.
Can I show y'all some pictures? I brought some pictures with me. Can you tell me what this is? A caterpillar. Oh my goodness. Isn't it pretty? It has a different design on it, doesn't it?
It's neat.
Alright, what about this one? What's this one? A butterfly. Isn't that one pretty? It has a pretty design on it too, doesn't it? What do these two have in common? Why do I have pictures of a caterpillar and a butterfly? That's right, a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Isn't that cool? How do you think that happens? How does a caterpillar turn into a butterfly? Who does that? Who makes that happen? God does. Just like he made the design on the caterpillar and butterfly too, didn't he? Did he make the design? Who makes you grow? God makes you grow too. You're going to be big and tall one day, aren't you? Yeah, does he make you have a different design too? He makes you unique. Isn't that really cool? Yeah. Just like the caterpillar turns into the butterfly, you guys are going to grow up and be big and tall one day, don't you think? Yeah. Okay, can I pray for y'all? Dear God, thank you for this day, and thank you for each kid up here. And I just thank you so much that you make the caterpillar turn into the butterfly. And I thank you that you make each of us grow and that you make each of us unique. And I just pray that you would have your hand over each kid. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. Be reading from Psalm 65. And if you do not have your own personal Bible with you, it should be a pew Bible located close by. Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. This is a psalm of praise and is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, on this day, your day, a day that we gather to rest, as Jeff said, and to honor you and worship, Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for all the ways, big and small, this past week that we felt your power and your love and your grace upon our lives. And Lord, as we stand before you, as we sit here in your house in worship on the first day of a new week, we are blessed. We are blessed as people who know you, who realize, even if we can't fully grasp the significance of it, we realize the sacrifice that you made for us by sending your son. We realize that we are a people redeemed by grace and sustained by love. And we need to acknowledge that and thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for who we are as your children, created in your image, and loved and sustained every single day of our lives by you. Lord, we cannot list the things that we're thankful for over the past week and the ways that we have been blessed and encouraged. Whether you used a friend or a neighbor, a family member to bless us with an encouraging word or a visit or a hug, or you honored the prayers of Christians and brothers and sisters praying for others who are struggling in some kind of way, or whether you blessed us by the healing of a relationship or by drawing us closer to you through your word and through your presence and through the Holy Spirit, or whether you blessed us and encouraged us by seeing others around us work for your kingdom, reaching out to others to spread the word of Jesus Christ. Lord, we could not list this morning all the things and all the ways that you worked in the past 7 days. But we thank you for continuing to work in our world, and we thank you for continuing to use us, even when we're not at our best, to use us to reach out to others. Lord, we want to be the church of Jesus Christ, and we want to be a beacon of light in this community and everywhere that we go, so that we may be who you want us to be each and every day. Lord, I thank you for each person here. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know the concerns of our minds and our hearts. You know what we're struggling with. You know what we're succeeding with. But Lord, my prayer for all of us this morning is that today and throughout this new week, that we will seek you a little more diligently this week, that we will run to you a little faster, that we will grow closer to you, because there is nothing that can prevent us from being closer to you than we've ever been in our lives, and from us being this week a step closer to who you want us to be. Lord, thank you for loving us and sustaining us. Thank you for blessing us and giving us the hope that we need, the encouragement that we need, and most importantly, the love and the presence that make all the difference in our lives. For each person here, Lord, I thank you. For those that are not here with us, we lift them up to you in prayer. And of course, those who do not yet know you, Lord, continue to work and continue to use us and help us to be faithful to answer your call this week in our lives. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
This past Wednesday night, we had deacons meeting, and during deacons meeting, we were spending a few minutes just talking about our youth group and our kids, and we were, I guess, talking specifically about the last 20 years and all the kids that have come out of our youth group, and how these kids now, they're in their 20s and their 30s. Most of them are married. A lot of them have their own kids. We have three youth ministers that I'm aware of, I think three. We have teachers, we have business people, we have two in medical school. These kids have all just turned out great. And more than anything else, though, these kids, they still have maintained their relationship with each other no matter where they're living. And these are relationships that they will maintain for the rest of their lives, and they'll support and nurture each other. And the root of all this is our youth group here at College Park. And when you make your offerings, you're helping to support and facilitate that. It's a great thing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for all the opportunities and blessings that it brings. And we just thank you for everything you've done for us. And make each and every one of us a blessing to somebody else in some way today. And we ask that you bless our upcoming mission efforts, also the one we had yesterday and the one we have coming up. And now as we give back a small portion of that which we have received from you, we ask that you bless both the gift and the giver. Amen. Thank you.
In Henderson County, when I was growing up, there was several youth organizations, as there are here in Forsyth County. One of them was Boy Scouts, and we have Boy Scout Troop here. And it's a good organization, fantastic. Some of my friends were in Boy Scouts. I was in 4-H for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're co-ed. Yeah. Yeah, they're co-ed. The second is my father was the county agent. He was kind of in charge of all the 4-H clubs, so therefore, naturally, I was going to be in 4-H. But I remember as the summer went on, we would go to summer camp. And we usually either went to Camp Swannanoa, which is over near Asheville, Black Mountain in that area, or we'd go to Camp Shob, which is over near Waynesville. Occasionally, we'd come over here to Betsy Jeff Penn 4-H Center in Reidsville. But primarily, we would go to one of the mountain camps. And there was always a big event, usually about the middle to the end of the week, depending on the weather. We would go stargazing. Okay, well, you get a bunch of teenage boys and girls up and take them up where it's real dark and there's nothing. But, yeah, I mean, you got to keep them pretty closely chaperoned. They're going to be gazing at something else other than stars. They have stars in their eyes. But I mean, it was always kind of an interesting event. But we would go up, and as is the case in the mountains, there was no ambient light around. You know, so we'd take our flashlights and we'd trail up the mountain and we'd get out in the field out there and we just lay down on our backs and we would look at the stars, amongst other things. But we'd look at the stars and we'd have someone that was there that could tell us about the different constellations and how throughout history the stars had been used to guide people, sometimes even to save their lives. And it was always kind of one of the highlights of the week. And for me, it wasn't that unusual because we lived on top of a mountain. And when you turn the lights out in the house, you could go sit out on the front porch and do the same thing. And for me, it was always perspective. And you go out there and you see the beauty of God's creation, see how vast the universe is, and then you think, what am I? What am I? And as I was thinking about this week's sermon, my mind just kept going back to Psalm 8. And it's interesting because last week, Psalm 8 was actually part of the lectionary reading. I mean, we were supposed to read Psalm 8 last week, but we kind of diverted from that because it was Father's Day. And I said, I can't go on. I've got to go back to this. It's a magnificent passage of Scripture. And so I wanted to come back to it. Teresa, thank you for your offertory. It was beautiful. In as part of the offertory, she was playing the majesty and glory of your name. And the choir will recognize that Psalm 8 was the basis for Fetke's text, the majesty and glory of your name. And apart from Psalm 51, this particular psalm, Psalm 8, is perhaps one of the most intimate and revealing of David's writings. And I want us to do something different with this morning. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. The Pew Bibles are the NIV. If your personal Bible is not the NIV, I invite you to take one of the Pew Bibles that's there in front of you. Stand to your feet with me, and we're going to read Psalm 8 together. Go ahead. Get a Bible. Stand. You have more power with this. When you do this, they stand. There you go. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained peace to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Thank you. You may be seated. So who's in charge of running off the choir sheet? It's all good, Dennis. Thank you, buddy. choir had a slightly different version, and when they read it, it's great. Thank you, choir. Appreciate your leadership. You know, when I'm reading this psalm, whether it's out loud or whether it's in a time of devotion myself, you know, I get this feeling that the author of Psalm 8, David, is kind of taking stock of things. You know, it's like one day he was sitting there and he was kind of pondering. He was thinking about his life and he's kind of taking stock. He had a lot to think about. He, you know, whether it's his remarkable call into service as the youngest son of Jesse, or whether, you know, he was thinking about the time when he was called into to defend the honor of the name of the Lord, and he went into battle against Goliath and defeated Goliath, or maybe he was thinking about, you know, his not just his successes but also the strife that he went through with King Saul and his friendship with Jonathan. Maybe he's thinking about his moral failure with Bathsheba. I don't know, but I'm sure. We have all of that documented in Scripture, and it's kind of out there for anyone and every, the good and the bad. It's all out there. His notoriety and all of that are well documented in biblical lore. But as in all of our lives, for both the mighty and the meek, there come those defining moments, those moments in our journey where, in quiet reflection, we kind of check the shelves, if you will. Check the shelves of our lives to see what we have stored there, or maybe what we're trying to still hide there, to keep putting it in the back, trying to hide it from ourselves or God. And the psalm here appears to describe one of those kind of life-changing, life-defining moments for David. You know, we can almost imagine here that the images presented in this poem are those that kind of captured the mind and personality of David, perhaps when he was back tending his sheep on the hills of Bethlehem. Because, you know, shepherds were, after all, stargazers. They may have been the first 4-H club. I don't know. You know, they had the sheep there. You know, they had other things, lions coming through. Maybe they were the first 4-H club. But it's clear from what David writes that he was a stargazer too. He loved the beauty, the majesty of God's created order. And in those quiet moments of tending sheep at night, he would no doubt gaze into the heavens and ponder the larger realities of life. It was perspective, just as it can be for us. Perhaps it gave him perspective. Perspective that he so often and quickly forgot, and perspective that we so often and quickly forget. Because for David, the conversation begins with God. Look again at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. And when rightly considered, this God balances the larger questions of life. And those questions probably flooded the mind of David as he takes stock of the creative prowess of God. He scans the heavens and he discovers there the very glory of God. But God's majesty, he discovered, is not just confined to the firmament. For when we drop our heads and we look no longer at the heavens, but we look and see a different God, the same God, a different aspect of God, a different creative ability of God, we discover a remarkable God who's created and has revealed himself to us. Verse 2. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. The glory of God's not just in the heavens. The glory of God is also in the created order that, look around, that you see. As you go through the nursery, you know, hear the children singing songs about God from the lips and the mouths of babes and infants come the testimony of the glory of God. So somewhere in this process of adoration and intense reflection, David has one of these aha moments. He discovers something new. It dawns on him that this same God who kind of flicked the stars into their respective orbits and who had masterfully decorated all of creation is the very same God who created him. Indeed, he is the God who creates every single one of us. And it was an awe-inspiring moment for this king, King David, who probably was not awe-stricken by very much outside of anything that God did. You see, all of us are created to come to that moment of reckoning. We're called to recognize our role in God's world. That statement calls for deep reflection. We're to put aside self long enough to find and accept our place in creation. And then we quickly discover that our place is really not our place. Ultimately, it's God's place because this is God's world. And we are God's creation. Amen? And although humanity is indeed the centerpiece of God's good creation, God, not humanity, is at the heart of creation. You know, sometimes we forget this this biblical and theological premise, but in the midst of David's contemplative process, this recognition, this realization comes to him. It is almost as if we can hear him reasoning to himself, and as he scans the heavens, and as he takes into account the fullness of God's power, the light slowly begins to get brighter in his spirit. You see, the God who creates the big things in this world is the same God who creates the little things as well. The God who watches the stars go supernova also forgives our explosive failures and sets us back on course. And it's in that mindset that David begins to recognize the order of creation and the place that humans have in this whole created order. God actually invested greatly in humanity, placing us a notch below the angels of heaven. That significance was not lost on David. He got that. And he also got that with that ranking comes enormous blessing. But also with that ranking comes abounding responsibility. And I think in this psalm, David gives us at least one more powerful lesson. You see, he begins the psalm in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. He begins the psalm with an affirmation of God's immutable power and his sovereignty. Notice how he closes the psalm, verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You see, as David processed the wonders of life in creation, he saw that it started and it ended with God. What an incredible insight. What an insightful recognition. Begin with God and end with God. Now, it's a lofty concept. And for David, as for all of us, all of life, all of creation begins and ends with God. But isn't that really, if you think about it, isn't that at the heart of biblical revelation? Think about it in Genesis. In Genesis, we see the incredible power of the Creator God. And in Revelation, we find the ultimate fulfillment of Himself. What we have to look forward to. Everything rises and falls with God. What a riveting reminder. And think of the ramifications for our life. What if we really started and ended with God? What if we took that notion as literally and radically as it sounds? What would happen in between? What would happen? What would our lives look like? What would our families look like? What would our vocation look like? What would our church look like if we really started and ended with God? It's a startling reminder that all of life is God's. It begins with Him. It ends with Him. And for those who have the courage to live it out, the results will be beyond anything that we can imagine. So what is an appropriate response? In light of what we know about God, I think the most appropriate response, first of all, is fall on our face before Him and praise Him. Give Him thanks. As I read Revelation, we're going to be doing a lot of that, so you might as well get used to it. Fall on our face before Him and praise Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He's done for us. Confess that we're not worthy and ask His forgiveness. And then marvel at the grace that He extends to us as He forgives us. That's the invitation this morning. If you do not know or do not have a personal relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that's the first, most important part of the invitation. I'd be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I'm still trying to live my own life and I've cut God out of the picture. You know, I'm not beginning with God. I'm not ending with God. I'm not doing anything with God. I'd be glad to talk with you, pray with you, try to help sort things out. If you're here this morning, you say, I love this congregation. I love being a part of it and I'd like to make that official by church membership. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. But most importantly, do business with God this morning. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. Get your heart attuned to Him and listen to what He has to say to you and respond as you feel led. Stand with me. Remain standing for our benediction. Following benediction, there will be a response. I invite you to sing all together. The choir will lead us in, again, the chorus, O Lord, how majestic is your name. And be sure and greet one another following the response before you leave. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day, how you've touched our hearts and our lives. God, we pray that our response would be appropriate to what we know of you, who you are, and what you've done for us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.